text this morning will be Psalm 147 and verse number 1. Let's go ahead and read this verse. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." These last few psalms, maybe they're considered, I believe they're considered the hallelujah chorus of the book of Psalms. Really, as you read them through, you'll notice over and over again, they really are praises to the Lord. Matter of fact, within these chapters, you'll find admonishment that everything should praise the Lord. The creation should praise the Lord, and we, part of His creation, should also consistently be praising Him. But it's really a thought from the last phrase of this verse that I want to preach on this morning. Again, that last phrase says, "And praise is comely." I don't think anybody wants to be ugly. All of us probably take steps to ensure that we are as attractive as we possibly can be. When we think about this, we normally think about the female gender. My own personal opinion is, you know, they're a little bit more attractive than the male gender. Some females disagree with me on that, but that's all right. Maybe that's because they're female and because I'm a male. But women, we know they go to great extremes to ensure that they're appealing, that they are attractive to others. I mean, they spend a great deal of money, you know, on their haircuts. They get perms. They taper their hair. Some women, I understand, they choose to dye their hair. And when you do that, I didn't realize, but you got to do that, what, every month, ladies? At an expense of, what, $40 to $60? Youch. That sometimes hinders me from encouraging my wife to ever get to a point where she would dye her hair. I mean, if I got to spend that kind of money every month. But some women do that. Women, they wear lots of makeup, foundation, blush, lipstick, eyeshadow. They put all these things on each morning to ensure that they look attractive to everyone else. Sometimes they carefully choose their clothes, accenting their more attractive areas. Some women pick out shoes that they feel would make them more appealing to others. They ensure that their legs are shaved, that they've placed their perfume on, their powder, and their lotion to keep their skin soft and smooth. Sometimes they decorate themselves with jewelry, necklaces, bracelets, and earrings. And some even go to the extent of taking a long-term action by dieting and exercising to ensure that they maintain their attractiveness to others. But I guess women are not the only ones to focus on this sometimes. Men also, you know, they keep their hair cut and trimmed. When it all begins to fall out, they get plugs and toupees and things like that. Sometimes they just let it grow long on one side and comb it over to give the appearance that they have hair. A lot of guys, I don't know if you ever dealt with many salespeople, I don't know what it is about salespeople, but they always get the gel going. I remember getting my hair cut, not knowing what to do with my hair since it was changing so much. And so I finally went to Tammy's beautician and let her cut my hair one time. And she says, "I know you may not like this, but you could get this gel and, you know, and put it in your hair." And then, yeah, I wouldn't like that, so I haven't done it. But some guys do that. Some guys even, you know, they put their cowboy boots on because they think it makes them more attractive to the female gender. Some keep their beards not a beard, but yet not clean shaven, because I don't know, that apparently is attractive to some in the female community. But men too will exercise and diet so that they maintain their appearance. They want to be attractive. And in this message this morning, I want to look at some things that we can do to make ourselves attractive. But I'm not going to focus on external things. Instead, I'm going to focus on internal things, or what we could consider behaviors. Behaviors that can make you attractive. After all, God would place the importance on our behavior and how it makes us attractive rather than outward things that make us attractive. In Matthew 23:27, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres," that is, painted graves, "which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones." Behaviors, this is the subject this morning, behaviors that can make us attractive. Before we get into that, let's pray. Lord, bless our time together in your word this morning. Lord, I know in our society there is an emphasis upon externals and making ourselves attractive on the outside. But Lord, I pray that through this message this morning, we might take steps to ensure that we're attractive to others by the way that we behave. So God, use this message. I know it might be more applicable to our young ladies, but I pray that the Spirit of God would take the truths that we look at and apply them to each of our lives as we have need of them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Behaviors which can make you attractive. Again, notice in our text, in Psalm 147, it said that praise is comely. Praise is comely. The word comely in the Bible, it may not always mean attractive or beautiful or fair. But if you'll look that word up in Strong's Concordance, you'll find each of those words. In Psalm 33 and verse 1, it is perhaps a parallel passage to this text. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." In that particular context, I guess you could argue that the word comely does not mean beautiful or fair or attractive, but it means, you know, something that's suitable or fit or appropriate, because it says, "For praise is comely for the upright." It's appropriate, it's suitable for us to praise God. But when you look at our text and when you look at some other passages in the Bible, you can see that this word comely means attractive or beautiful. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 53 and verse 2, it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think most of us recognize that Isaiah 53 is a prophetic portion of Scripture concerning Jesus Christ. And it says that he'll have no form nor comeliness, that when people see him, they would be attracted to him because of his outward appearance. Not that he was ugly, but he was average. He was normal. And it wasn't his outward appearance that attracted people to him. But I think we all recognize that Jesus Christ, at different times in his ministry, he was very attractive to people. And again, when you're attractive, what's that word mean? People are attracted to you. They're drawn to you when you're attractive. And people were drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it wasn't because of his outward appearance. It was because of who he was. And what is it that defines who we are? It's not our outward appearance. It's our conduct. It's our behavior. It's our being. And Jesus Christ, being God, was righteous and holy and set apart from sin. And those things attracted people to him. You young ladies, as I said in my prayer, should probably pay more close attention to this message this morning. Because in your lives, you will be tempted to attract boys and men by your outward appearance. Now again, I don't think that you should walk around, you know, looking unattractive on purpose. I haven't met too many young ladies who actually do that, though. But you want to be careful not to attract a man simply by your outward appearance. You want to ensure that a man is attracted to you because of who you are. Because that will never waver. That will never change who you are. What you look like may change. I probably shared with some of you the story that I read in that book, They Meant It for Evil. But there, Lucinda Pennington, she was talking about how she met the man that she was going to marry. And by the way, this is a very insightful chapter in her book because, and again, I realize that young people don't need to be reading that book maybe till you're 20 years old because some of the information in there is adult-oriented. But this young, as a girl, this woman was greatly abused from the time that she was 5 years old till the time that she was 19. And she had a distorted view about a lot of things, you know, about child discipline, and she talks about that in her book, how she had to just kind of forfeit to her husband when it came to dealing with the children and how to discipline them because she really had no biblical concept, having grown up in these abusive homes, about what was appropriate and what wasn't. But here she was, abused all this time, and so again, a distorted view about a lot of things, and she was scared that when she went to find someone to marry, that she would marry the wrong type of person. And I think it was Brother Williams, Ron Williams, who encouraged her to get someone else involved in your decision in marrying and finding a spouse. And allow, you know, that godly person or that godly couple to help you in your decision. And that's what she did. She got the couple who helped her get away from the abuse to help her to ensure that she married the right kind of person. But as these two individuals were courting, Lucinda Pennington and her now husband, she said she knew that he was the man to marry when she tried to seduce him in a hallway. Basically tried with all of her might to get him to kiss her. But he refused. And knowing what she was doing, at one point actually grabbed a hold of her cheeks, she said, and looked at her and said, "Look, I want to kiss you, but I'm not going to. Because I made a commitment to you and I made a commitment to God that I will not do that until we're married. And once we say I do, I will kiss you all you want. But until then, I will not." And she knew right then that this was the man that she would marry. Because he did not love her because of the physical affection that he could get from her because he wasn't getting that. He loved her for who she was. And I can't stress enough to you young ladies and maybe to you young men, you marry someone not because of their outward appearance, not because of what they can give to you physically, but because of who they are. And if you want to find that in someone else, you also need to strive to be a person of integrity and character so that when they marry you, you're the right person. You can't just be focused on choosing and God bringing into your life the right person. You have to be the right person yourself. So again, I would suggest that the young ladies especially pay careful attention to this message and to take steps to exhibit behaviors that would make you attractive to godly men. But I think that some of these principles will apply to every one of us. And so the first thing that we can do, the first behavior that we can exhibit to make ourselves attractive to others is to praise the Lord. And that's what this verse says, that praise is comely. It's beautiful. It's attractive. And when you praise God, it makes you attractive in the eyes of other people. I mean, who would you rather be around? A person who complains all the time or a person who is very complimentary? Would you rather be around a person who tears down others and maybe even you all the time? Or would you rather be around a person who builds people up and edifies them? And would you rather be around a person who's critical of everything? And maybe even you? Or a person who praises others and you? Of course, I think we all realize we'd rather be around someone who compliments, someone who builds up, someone who praises. Matter of fact, when we're around someone who is critical and angry and complaining, really we just want to get away from them. It's a situation and an environment that we just want to get away from. Because it's not a situation, it's not an environment, it's not a behavior that attracts us to someone. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying," and here they were announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when you imagine this particular scene, isn't it rather attractive to this host of heaven singing praises to God for His gift of His Son? We don't picture that as an ugly scene. We picture it as a sensational scene with a host of heaven praising God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, and this was thereafter the day of Pentecost, where thousands were saved, it says that they, the disciples, the believers, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And then notice this, praising God and having favor with all the people. They were doing many things here. One of the things that they did consistently was praise God. And I don't know if it's attaching to that, to having favor with all men, but that's a possibility. That they drew favor from others because of their behavior of praising God. And as a result of that, it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now you all know, I'm not a positive-only preacher. I'm not a charismatic Pentecostal. But you know as well as I do that people are attracted to that. And so you know what? As God's people, we not only need to warn about false doctrine. We not only need to do, as our memory verse says in our bulletin, take heed unto thyself and unto our doctrine. But we better spend a great deal of time praising God, talking about His goodness, and lifting up Jesus Christ. Because you know what? That's going to attract people to Him. And it's going to attract people to our church. It's attractive when we praise God. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else to look at what's going on in our country and in the churches in America and to begin to complain and become bitter and angry about it. But you know what? Maybe we should spend just as much time, if not more, praising God for all the good that remains. What can we do to make ourselves more attractive? We can praise the Lord. You know, every time I think about the subject of praising the Lord, I always think back to what evangelist Herb Hoover said. Now, he was the first evangelist I ever heard after I got right with, well, one of the first evangelists I ever heard. He was preaching when I surrendered to preach, surrendered to the ministry. And that must have been March of 1997. And he was just a little bitty guy, little bitty short, old guy. And I think he would have liked to be able to jump up in the air and kick his heels together, because he's always talking about that, jumping up together and kicking his heels together and saying, hallelujah. But he was one to praise God. And he was talking about how he was in Walmart one time and he was looking for, I think, super glue or something like that. And And when he got in the aisle there, you know, with all the products, and there was super glue, and it said, two for the price of one. And he said, praise the Lord. And when he said that, he said it out loud. He said there was a black lady that kind of looked over at him kind of strange, you know, at what he said. But that same lady came up to him after he had checked out and inquired, you know, as to why he said that. You know, and so I can't remember all that he said afterwards. I don't know if the woman got saved or what, but you can see by that illustration that this woman was attracted to what he said. And all he did was said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think we should make it a practice in our lives to praise the Lord. As it said in Psalm 33, it is comely for the righteous. It's suitable, it's appropriate, and it's probably expected. Do you remember what happened when Paul and Silas in that prison cell sang praises unto God? It says the prisoners heard them. And it eventually led to that Philippian jailer getting saved. You know what? If we want to be attractive, we don't necessarily have to put on makeup or Gucci clothes. We can just praise the Lord. And by virtue of that, become more attractive to others. But what else can we do? Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Again, you can summarize that. Obey your parents. Honor your parents. Listen to them, right? And then notice verse 9, though. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. You could put on jewelry and have a fancy hairdo to make yourself outwardly attractive. But you know what? This verse likens honoring your parents and obeying them to doing those very two things. Because it says, what's it say again? It shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. Maybe it's like putting on a crown, putting on a ribbon that matches your blouse. And chains about thy neck. I mean, obeying mom and dad is like having a nice, big, fat pearl necklace. And women think, that's going to make me stand out. I got my low neckline dress or my low neckline blouse, and I wear those oyster pearls. It's going to draw everybody to my countenance. But you can do that. But the Bible says you can accomplish the very same thing by honoring your parents and respecting them. I mean, think about unruly, disobedient, rebellious children. I mean, other rebels may be attracted to them, but no godly person ever is. You know, rebellious people, disobedient people, they're repulsive. And you know what that word repulsive means? They repel you. You don't want to be around them. They make you uncomfortable. You ever been around a person who's being outwardly rebellious towards their parents? I don't care what you say. I'm doing whatever I want. It's not very attractive, is it? But on the flip side of that, have you ever been around young people? And I'm not just talking about young people. I mean, I could be talking about people my age around their parents. Have you ever been around people who are respectful to their parents and other adults? Young people who say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and do what their mom and dad say right away. That's appealing, isn't it? I can recall in my own life grandparents, aunts, and uncles wondering whether or not we were a little too strict with our young children. As a matter of fact, sometimes things were said about it. But they seemed to learn later on that being like that with those young children made them much more pleasant to be around when they were older, because they weren't unruly and running around everywhere and tearing everything up. You see, when children obey their parents, it's very attractive. And by the way, you young people, if you think the Lord's bringing someone into your life that you might marry, how do they behave towards their parents? And when they're looking at you, how do you behave towards your parents? Because if you want to be attractive to someone, you're going to have to be obedient to mom and dad. Look then at Ecclesiastes 5:18. Here's another one. Ecclesiastes 5:18. We can be attractive by praising God. We can be more attractive by obeying our parents. And then here in Ecclesiastes 5:18, we could be more attractive by being industrious or hardworking. It says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely," there's that word again, "comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun, all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion." Again, you read that at first and it says, you know, it's comely for one to eat and to drink, and you're saying, you know, some people, the way they eat, it just is not attractive. But that's not exactly what it's talking about, okay? It's not talking, you know, about chewing with your mouth closed, all right? It's not talking about, you know, sipping your soup without making a slurping sound. What it's talking about is someone who's industrious, someone who's hardworking, and as a result, this individual is eating of their own labors. They're providing for their own selves. And again, in God's eyes, this is a good thing for us to work hard to sustain ourselves, to meet our needs. Because folks, quite honestly, it is just not attractive when you watch someone else who is mooching off of the labors of someone other than themselves. It's not attractive. I mean, there may be times when people have legitimate needs, but you know, when someone's on the street and they have a cardboard sign that says, "Please give, I'm hungry," it's just not attractive. But when you see someone being blessed of God because of their hard work, that's attractive. Again, look at it this way. When we see somebody who's successful, they've worked hard and they've made a success of their lives, we're attracted to that. I mean, they make movies and write books and biographies about Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. Why? Because of their creativity, because of their hard work, because of their industrious attitude. It's attractive. And so young men should take note of this. Women, at least smart women, they're not attractive to men who have no desire to work. But a man who'll be responsible and work hard and enjoy the fruit of his labors, that's attractive. That's attractive. Turn with me then in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 2, I think we were in this text Sunday night when we were talking about women preachers, so I don't know if I want to spend a whole lot of time here, but it is relevant to this subject as well. 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Again, how are women to adorn themselves? They're not to focus on the outside. Broided hair, gold, pearls, and costly array. But they're to focus on their behavior, or the inner man, how they conduct themselves. I mean, the passage does reference her attire, and it says that she should be dressed in modest attire. Now, some think, well, and this is the truth. There's a lot of girls that think, you know what? If I cover up my body and I dress all modest, I'm not going to attract, you know, a man ever. That's what some women think. They think the only way I'm ever going to be able to attract a man is to show off my body, is to dress in form-fitting clothing, or where my, well, I won't say it, but where parts of my body are accented. That's what women think, and that's their fear. If I don't win them with my body, I'm just not. Well, you know what? If it's going to take your body to win them, you don't want to win them. I know some of you are scared to death to be left an old maid and never married. That it would be better to be left an old maid and never married than to marry the wrong kind of man. But not only is the woman, and by the way, the subject is how can we be attractive? You can be attractive, ladies, by dressing modestly. But not only can you be attractive by your modest apparel, but also by your modest behavior. And that's kind of what's talked about in these passages. One of the things that's talked about. Shamefacedness and sobriety. This has to do with a woman's conduct. Innocence is attractive. Shyness is attractive. I know what the flesh is attracted to. The flesh is attracted to nakedness and boldness and aggressiveness and confidence. Okay, the flesh of a man is attracted to that in the female. But you know what? The higher nature, if we could call it that, the Spirit of God would be attracted to modesty, shyness, innocence, and humility. And those behaviors are what will attract a godly man. I know the strange woman gets a lot of attention. And the Bible describes her as loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her own house. She's rebellious. And I understand why those kind of women get a lot of attraction. Because there's even a lot of godly men who would never marry a woman like that. They still give her a little bit of attention. I mean, Hollywood is filled with strange women, with the aggressive type. The Madonnas, the Lady Gagas, the Marilyn Monroe. As much as women idolize Marilyn Monroe, you know why I think she got so much attention back in her day? Because she was pushing the limits. It's not just because she wasn't a tweet. She was pushing the limits in what she dressed, how she dressed, and what she did, and in her behavior. And that's attractive to the flesh. But we're talking about being attractive to the right kinds of people here this morning. And then lastly, I have one last thing in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, that is, the conduct of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. That's the same thought that we saw in 1 Timothy 2. Again, don't focus on the outside, focus on the inside. And again, the whole point here is because that's attractive, that will get a man's attention. And it's talking about your husband's attention. You want to get your husband's attention if he's lost and he needs to be saved? Do you nag him? No. You do just the opposite. Verse 4 then says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know, but it's not just God who finds that attractive. Godly men find that attractive. A woman who is submissive. Men find that attractive. A woman who will let them lead. A woman who will listen to them. A woman who will support them and lift them up. What did my wife say yesterday? She said, nobody else, you wouldn't be happier with anybody else, because nobody else, what did she say? Nobody else would basically cater to my ego. That's what she, something like that, she said. I was like, what do you mean by that? You mean you're just flattering me? No, she just says, most women would say, you know what, get over yourself. Move on. But she doesn't do that. And that's attractive to me. To a man, submission is attractive. In 1 Corinthians 11:13, it says, judge in yourselves, is it comely? Is it comely? Is it attractive that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Again, the insinuated response is, no, that's not attractive. And again, it's talking about a woman's hair and how it's given to her for a covering, but it's also symbolic of her submission. And by the way, both are attractive. Long hair and a submissive woman. They're both attractive. So we don't have anybody in this church. We have no females in this church with short hair, do we? Not one. That's the way it ought to be, in my opinion. I never understood why women would cut their hair off, because it makes them look fat, ugly, and old. But not only that, it's not scriptural. I don't believe, like some Pentecostals do, that you should never cut your hair. I think you can cut your hair, but I think a woman's hair should be long. That's what the Bible says, right? It's a shame for a man to have long hair, but it's given to the woman for a covering. It's her glory. But it's, never forget, it's symbolic of her submission. And the Bible tells us that a submissive woman is attractive. Not just to others, but even to God, it is of great price. So again, in summary, behaviors which can make you attractive. What can you do to make yourself more attractive? How can you behave as a godly young lady or young man? You can praise God, because that makes you attractive. You can obey your parents. You can be industrious, that is, hard working, providing for your own needs. You can not only dress modestly, but behave modestly. And then you could be submissive. And I'm sure there are others, but this is kind of a new subject matter that I have been examining as I read the Bible. But maybe there's some other behaviors that we could plug into this message. But clearly, those five things can help you be attractive to others in a right way. And by the way, these behaviors, I think, are logical to expect to be seen in the lives of people who are saved. 1 Timothy 2:10 said as much, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You know, if we profess godliness, if we profess faith in Christ, we ought to behave like it. And some of the behaviors that we've talked about this morning are the types of behaviors that should be incorporated into our life. And let me just say this in closing. If you are not saved, then you are not attractive to God. No, your righteousnesses, as the Bible says, are as filthy rags. And you're not attractive to God. You're stained with your sin. But if you'll put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will clean you up. And He will begin to make you attractive. Practically, positionally, you will become attractive to God, because He will give to you a white robe, one that's clean and fresh and without sin. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for our time together this morning. And God, I pray again that You use this message and the truths that we have looked at to help Your people. Lord, I know our society is so focused on the outward appearance and looking right on the outside, but God, as Your people, I pray that we would place the focus upon our conduct, our behavior, upon the inner man. And Lord, might you produce the things in us that would be pleasing in thy sight, that would be attractive to thee. Lord, might we, as God's people, be attractive to the world for the very same reasons that Jesus was attractive to the multitudes during his year of popularity. And so, Lord, just again, take the message this morning and use it for thy glory and use it for the benefit of thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.